This is going to be heavy, and I'm so glad they were able to come in. We've got three students from Montgomery High School. They're all seniors, Joey Bowser, Ava Parmalee, and here we go. It's Heretta Tesfamichael.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well done, Steve.
Thank you. I can go home now. I mean, I wasn't sure I was going to make that one, but I did. Again, welcome, and thanks for being in here. I want to begin with something that I just saw recently, and I believe I saw this prior to the murder. The headline in the Press Democrat says, Santa Rosa's Montgomery High School students object to hazardous, gross conditions. It blew me away. I was really surprised to read all this. So let's start there. How long has this been going on, and how hazardous and gross is it? Anybody, start, I don't care.
Well, Steve, I'd like to say, when has it not been going on for school?
Really?
Because, yeah, for the past 50, 60 years, really our school has been going downhill. Just the infrastructure itself and the overall treatment of the school itself.
And is just not enough money from the state and in general for, I mean.
It's a very complex issue.
Of
that
course.
It all drives into economics. I mean,
sure.
The financing of our schools, the school facility funding is volatile, and it has declined since 2006 at least. Like it has had a major decline since 2006, I'd say, especially from the Great Recession in 2008.
Let's give our listeners some sense of what we're really talking about here.
Yeah.
The condition of the school. What particularly?
Well, the bathrooms
really
are funky, apparently.
Yeah, our bathrooms were our major push, especially in the beginning, because not only do we not have the appropriate legal number of bathrooms on campus, at the time, about half of our bathrooms were closed. So then our administration and board would say, well, your bathrooms are falling apart. They're in terrible condition. And that's what happens when you have 1,600 students using 11 toilets. And so in addition to the bathroom, we have bungalows, which are only, they're portable classrooms that are only supposed to be used for about 10-ish years that have been in place for 50. And they have mold growing, the bottoms are falling apart.
Good Lord.
It's caving in.
They don't have proper heating and air conditioning within them. 2 years ago, we received a significant amount of money that went into our HVAC systems and a lot of the ceiling repairs, because a lot of our main buildings, they were falling apart as well. We still have leaks to this day of just water coming through our ceilings. And that is also an issue that we see within our bungalows. And it is extremely bad within our bungalows because they're not being fixed, because we're promised new buildings. But, you know.
Right.
Haven't been there yet.
Keep in mind, Montgomery High School is Santa Rosa's second oldest high school.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right behind Santa Rosa, which Santa Rosa High School, it should be taken into account. I want to say 15, 20 years ago, DeSoto Hall got put in. And DeSoto Hall is a beautiful building that got put in. It's all brick. It layers so well with the rest of the school. And there's a little bit of that, okay, why are you pushing funds to certain schools and not allowing other schools to benefit from them as well. And so,
And that kind of goes back to your question, where not only is there not enough funding, the funding has been divided up differently throughout the schools over the last few years. And for so long, Montgomery was neglected just because there weren't enough people advocating like there are at other schools. And so we kind of, after our pipes blew up and there were raw sewage flowing through our hallway, we kind of said, enough is enough. We need to do something about this. And by then, we'd already been working with Lisa Cavan on, she's not on the board.
She's a member of the district office. She was sent by our superintendent, Anna Trunell, to try to help delegate these issues, I'd say. We haven't come in contact with our superintendent until today. And that is another issue that just lies within itself, I'd say.
It blows me away, Harry.
You talked. I think we need to let our audience have a little bit more information. The sewage, because that was a real issue. Talk about with that hat.
And you teach at Montgomery High School.
I've been there. I can attest to this, particularly the bungalows. I work a lot in the bungalows. I've been there in the winter when they've had to go to other classrooms because the heat didn't work. I've been there in the summer when they've had to go to other classrooms because the air conditioning didn't work. So these problems are legitimate. I can speak to them from personal experience. But again, talk about the exploding sewage.
Yeah, so something got clogged in our pipes, and basically our pipes have not been redone since the school was built in 1958, and there was about 2 inches of raw sewage just flowing through our main hallway, as well as coming up in the drains that we have in our science classrooms. So they had exposed sewage just coming
exposed sewage and fecal matter coming into chemistry classrooms and
good
the hallways.
Lord. This sounds like a twisted movie.
Sadly, it's true. These problems, long term, have you had any gotten any sense? Were there attempts to fix them, I guess, is my question at this point.
There is attempts to fix these issues, and I'd say there's attempts. I'd say that in the sense that there are people that are aware of them. There are people that are acknowledging us for these issues that we're bringing up, but has anything really been done? No.
And we're just now getting attention because the students have decided to take it on.
Yeah.
Had we not said anything, I highly doubt anything would be happening correctly.
Right. In Alana Minkler's article in the Press Democrat, and I'll quote, when sports practices were suddenly canceled after school, they learned it was actually raw sewage that was seeping up through the grates in the bathrooms and in science classrooms and spilling into the halls, as you guys just referred to. Good God.
Have you noticed, or what have you noticed in the last few weeks or days as far as efforts to correct some of these problems?
The Monday that we came back after the student passed away, we got a new heater in almost all my classes, which was ridiculous to say the least, that a student had to die on our campus for us to get the attention that we needed and the supervision that we needed, as well as other faculty. You know, our campus is severely understaffed, and the facilities, you know, teachers have been advocating for these for decades, and the fact that students have been as well, and it took someone dying to get the things that we needed on our campus.
Damn.
Yeah, and I think it just needs to be addressed. I mean, long live Jaden Pienta. It should have never come to this where we're actually getting change done, or there's people there to help us change, and it's in place of a life of one of our students. And that is ridiculous, and it's unacceptable by the California education system, by the school district, by the state itself.
You said you had contact with the superintendent today.
Yes.
What did that conversation entail?
She was very receptive of what we were trying to put down, what we were trying to talk to her about. She was definitely taking everything into account. Like I said, we are all as students and just members of Santa Rosa City Schools, a little antsy and just a little uncomfortable around people that haven't made the right decisions for us in the past and haven't called out what we're calling out now in the past.
We're talking to three students from Montgomery High School about everything that's going on there. We started out with the fact that it's gross.
To say the least, yeah.
Montgomery High School was built in 1958. And again, the school board and all the people involved and everyone you've talked to admits that these problems exist, but I guess they say they don't have the money to fix stuff.
Yeah, they don't have the slice of the pie to fix it, they say.
And what are your thoughts on that? Why wouldn't they?
I'd say they don't personally. Well, I think just from the... I'd say the reason why things aren't getting done is because they're supposed to not be getting done. They need to not get done. These issues have been arising in California public schools for over 60 years now, and it's evident. I mean, there's a historical analysis of this, and to this day, California ranks 33rd in per pupil spending. It's
You know, I saw that not long ago, and again, just went, whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, society plays a lot of lip service to the need of for quality education and the support of teachers and students. But when it comes to the money, they get mealy-mouthed. How we fund our schools is problematic. How our schools spend the money that they're funded with is problematic. So these are long-term problems. And as you said, it's a shame that it took the incident to happen to bring a highlight to this. But again, we were starting to get news reports before that of what was going on in the school. And then that happened, and it kind of got put on the back burner, which is why I wanted to start with it today, is that because, again, these problems are long-term, and part of the reason why what happened is being attributed to the lack of respect being shown in general to students and to schools.
Absolutely.
And one of the most obvious ways that a student can see that is by walking down a hallway with sewage running by.
Exactly.
Them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We got to take our break, and we'll be back with the three students from Montgomery High School to talk more about this. But one must keep in mind, in November 2014, we Santa Rosa citizens voted and approved two Proposition 39 general obligation bond measures for Santa Rosa City Schools. And Measure 1 provided $175 million for high schools, and the other one was about $54 million for elementary schools. And what are the people you talk to who are allegedly in charge have to say about Prop 39 and the money that was voted by us, the people who live in Santa Rosa? And by the way, I'm a monk, the Bene Valley guy.
Yeah, I'd say that the money is not enough.
Yeah, $175 million.
It's not enough.
Not
we
enough,
have 26
no.
campuses across Santa Rosa City Schools, and they're trying to distribute all the money that is given to us from whether it be local agencies or whether it be federal funding. It is not enough and is not adequate enough for us to do to make the actual change that needs to be made.
All right. We got to take our break. We'll be back with Joey Bowser, Ava Parmalee, and here we go. Heretta, test for Michael. Man, I'm good today. I'm on a roll, Harry. We'll be back on KSRO. Spent the first segment talking about the conditions at Montgomery High School, and not just Montgomery High School, really.
Yeah, it's as Joey said.
It sounds worse here at Montgomery High School than other places.
It's not singly a Montgomery problem, a Santa Rosa City School problem, California problem. It's a nationwide problem.
Yeah.
And we talked about the problems on campus, and Joey would like to take a second to propose a funding solution to these infrastructure problems. So, Joey, what do you want
Joey.
To contribute?
Yeah, thanks, Harry.
Cool.
So, research has shown that classrooms need to be modern, comfortable, safe, but the age condition of school facilities varies widely across the state. So California school districts need to spend between $3.1 billion to $4.1 billion annually to just maintain the facilities themselves. But research has been done to show that over the next decade, for modernization and new construction is expected to be around $117 billion.
Jeez.
That's just an estimation right now. And that, from my source, the PACE policy...
You're blanking. It's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Policy
this
analysis
is the drive.
Of California
I blank
education.
All the time.
Policy analysis of California education.
Yeah.
This is straight from there. It is factual. It is concrete. We do need more money. And these are just figures. These are just numbers that I'm stating right now. We're talking billions of dollars. But it's real. This is real money that needs to be put into our education because California is lacking.
Okay, no worries. We want to move on to the subject of school safety and security. And I guess I would start that by asking, why do you not feel safe at school right now?
A student was murdered at my high school. I'm never going to feel as safe as I did before that day.
The 15-year-old who had the knife and murdered one of the 16-year-olds... has been charged with manslaughter. One side is saying it was self-defense. The other side is saying it wasn't. We got to go to that whole situation. So somebody just give us your thoughts.
Well, let me ask you this. I understand why you don't feel safe. What do you think it will take for you to feel safe coming to school again?
I think that supervision is the overall, I guess, agreement through parents, staff, students, more supervision, whether that's a uniformed officer or a resource special or restorative specialist. There are disagreements. I personally believe in the restorative, in a restorative specialist, social workers, psychiatric, and crisis counselors on campus. And if that's paired with an ununiformed SRO or school resource officer, I feel that that would be the most sustainable and overall the best concession for our campus. But, you know, having a uniformed officer, as students have suggested, or people have suggested, an armed uniformed officer does not make me feel safe. As a young Black woman, I've, you know, had nothing but like positive interactions with Santa Rosa Police Department, but I've never fully felt safe. I've always been anxiety ridden. That's a historically justified fear of officers. I don't know if my life is in danger, if their hand is hovering over their gun. I consider myself, you know, a pretty innocuous person. I think I'm docile, you know, like, I'm not going to use that term, but I think I'm pretty harmless, you know? And to always be fearful of any sort of interaction, to be, you know, when I was 12 years old, my parents sat me down and talked to me, you know, like, when you're going to drive when you get to high school, you know, this is what you should do when you get pulled over. You know, turn off my engine, make sure I'm not playing music, hold my keys outside of my car window, and let the officer search me if they have to. And that's something I, as a 12-year-old, I was talked to. So to have someone on campus, uniformed, only exacerbates my fear, and I believe it does to my peers, to my Black and brown peers, and it, you know, having an officer would, in my opinion, force students to be in contact with the juvenile justice system, and that's historical, and that's statistically proven that the school-to-prison pipeline is only, you know, promoted by having an SRO on campus. And it's, we did get an officer on our campus, and I haven't talked to him yet, and I've heard really, you know, mostly positive things, and he is a social worker, and he is a crisis counselor as well. Or family and
has a lot of training. Yeah, working with the InTouch system that the Santa Rosa Police Department.
Yeah,
has.
He has a background of psychology, and
well,
he has worked
great.
With children to help them. But having real conversations with him and just stating the fact that, hey, the uniform that you're wearing and the gun that you're holstering, that makes kids feel uncomfortable. And any way that we can avoid that, that's what we want. We don't want necessarily people just to say, oh, they don't want safety around their campus. Of course we want safety. We want safety and security on our campus. We want to be able to feel safe walking around our campus itself. So just communicating with the people that hold that power, that's where we can really solve this. And Heretta brought up the restorative specialist, which was an initiative that I believe really started in 2013, 2014 in California public schools, which restorative specialists would go in and they'd be able to talk to the kids on their level and be able to understand the situations that kids were going through and be able to mend that. So those are precisely the systems that we need to fund properly, because
yes,
they have not been funded
they
properly.
They have not. And yeah, we're talking mental health issues for kids.
Yep.
The services are not available these days, right?
Yeah, the amount of staffing required to adequately support and serve the student population is much larger than it currently exists. And again, it all comes down to funding.
Yep.
You know, who's going
exactly.
to pay for these positions? I want to go back to the issue of SROs, because that's a real hot button in the community right now, the student resource officers. And I'm interested in Heretta's explanation that it's the uniform and the gun that seem to be real flashpoints, for lack of a better word, for students. And I appreciated you saying, I would like an individual like this on campus with the training and the experience in these other areas, but I don't want a uniform and a gun on a campus, which to me seems to be a reasonable compromise to the problem. the schools had student resource officers for years funded by the police department. The school board opted to cancel the program.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of parents now out there saying, we want the SROs back on campus, and yet you've got a lot of students saying, no, we don't. How do you guys see that coming out?
Yeah.
I think that in my perfect world, it would be paired with a social worker on campus, a permanent social worker, or at least adequately staffed counselors on our campus if we were to have an SRO. I think that's the best solution. And if there are better solutions or more opinions on that, then I'd love to hear them. But as far as I've done my research and talked to students and talked to my peers and staff members, I think we can agree that the pairing of an ununiformed, unarmed SRO on campus with a social worker it's the best of both worlds.
Makes sense to me. Ava, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, something that we discussed with our new principal, Lori Fong, is that actually having an officer on campus, like, had he been there when the stabbing occurred, he wouldn't have been able to do anything in terms of the stabbing. Like, his reaction time would have almost been the same. And a lot of parents, I think, want SROs because they would feel that their child is safer there. But because Montgomery is 65% people of color off our student population, I think it's really important that whatever's decided is a conversation, not just with parents, but with students, specifically students of color, as well as teachers who have to work with this person.
Three seniors from Montgomery High School are with us, and we're very happy they are. It's been great so far, and we're going to continue this compelling conversation. And I do want to bring up the once and current principal now at Montgomery High School, Lori Fong, who was principal for like 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. Lori Fong was the principal, I believe, from 2006 to 2016. In the past 16 years, she has been one of the 20 administrators that have gone through our school. 16 years, 20 administrators.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
All three of us have more seniority at our school than any single one of our administration, and currently all of them put together.
Yep.
More experience.
She left in the spring of 2016.
Correct.
And then was elected as a trustee of the Santa Rosa City School District's board in fall of 2016. Yeah. Now she's left the board and she's come back to be principal.
Yep.
For really just a few months, basically, at Montgomery High School. So you guys have talked to her since she's been back. Go ahead and talk about her.
Lori Fong she's legit. She's a real professional in her field, and her ability to communicate with students and staff and just understand the climate that's going on within our school right now, it's really impressive, and it's something I haven't seen from an administrator before. I mean, that's really all there is to it. She's there to be transparent and to be available to us as an administrator, which is good.
Yeah. On her first day, she came into our ASB classroom and just sat down and asked us to discuss how we felt, what we wanted to see change, and she truly just listened, which was greatly appreciated in this time.
Yeah, I've read a lot of positive reviews of her career, and especially for 10 years at Montgomery High School. And again, you have talked to her recently.
Yes. Yeah.
So you guys are all seniors. You have just a couple months of school left to go. Tell me how it is now going to school on a daily basis for you.
Let's just say prior to everything that has happened, I never dreaded going to school. And each day, maybe it's a little bit of senioritis, but each day it gets a little bit harder to want to come to school, to want to continue fighting, because the students have been fighting this battle for so long. And in my opinion, this is not our fight. We're not the ones who should be just asking for basic needs, such
exactly.
as air conditioning, heating, the ability to use the restroom when I need to use the restroom. But part of it fuels me because I know that if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. And I have a little sister who's coming in 5 years, and just trying to make the changes in the last few months that we get to be at Montgomery. And if there's one thing that I can say that can reach anyone, it's please send your kids to Montgomery. We are an amazing school with amazing programs, and I love the people. I love the culture we've created. I love our traditions. And the last thing that I'd hate to see is for events like this to turn people away, to go to private schools such as Cardinal Newman, to go to Creo. Please send your kids to Montgomery.
Aretta, your thoughts on being a student at Montgomery these next few months?
It's frustrating to know that, you know, there's so much work to be done. There's so much that we've done, and, you know, to have to let that go or to continue that fight, you know. Now I see how I am in these roles of, you know, fighting for change, and I see my peers, and I'm really excited for us and our future, but, you know, I am frustrated that I won't be able to apply my abilities and my skill set to my campus and see that change and see it come to fruition. I do love Montgomery, you know, and I love the unity we have on our campus, and I love how active and spirited we are. And I agree with Ava, you know, please send your kids to Montgomery. I love my experience there. I met so many really great people, really great teachers. I've had amazing interactions and just an amazing time. But it is just frustrating, you know.
Joey?
I'm with Ava. I have two younger sisters that are going to be going through Slater and then through Montgomery as well. And it's definitely a school that I wouldn't be pushing for people to go to it if I didn't really want people to go to it. There's great people that are at this school. And the reason why we're fighting for it is because we don't want those people to leave. We don't want those people to feel inclined to leave because of the conditions that have been suppressing them as teachers, as advisors, as supervisors, as school admin, as students. I love my school.
I'm curious, so I shall ask, what are your plans? You graduate, you're all three seniors, you graduate in a couple months. Joey, what are your plans after high school?
Well, Steve, I'd say continue to fight the right fight. That's it.
Are you going to college?
Yeah, I'll go through college. I'll find some education. It's important. It's important to value education, and that's another reason why we're fighting for our school so much, is because students should have the availability to have a great education, and it's not happening in our school district. So,
Heretta?
I plan to go to a four-year study civil engineering and public policy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Ava?
And I plan on going to a four-year to study public health, specifically nursing, so that way I'm able to help people in that way.
Beautiful.
All right, guys, we're coming close to the end of our segment here. Again, we appreciate you coming in and having this conversation with us. I'll give you each about a 30 seconds or so to make a final statement to the community.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having us on, and genuinely, Montgomery is an amazing place. We have amazing people, and despite everything that's gone on this past month, we're going to be stronger because of it.
Heretta?
I'm just really proud to see how we've come as a community, as Montgomery, you know, students and my peers, and I'm really proud of each and every one of us for, you know, fighting for what we need to see.
And Joey?
I'd say that within the school itself, there's definitely people that want the school to keep going, and it's something that will keep getting fought by for years on end after this. And as Spike Lee said in that great movie, do the right thing.
Amen, brother. Mm-hmm. Joey, Ava, and Heretta, thank you so much for coming in, and keep us posted.
You Absolutely. Represent your school and your community very well.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Harry, maybe we should get three kids from Santa Rosa High School and talk about their situation.
We could bring kids
just,
in
you know,
from every school.
I'm just, you know, the sewage in the hallways. Yeah, it's just blowing my mind.
You know, not to beat a dead horse again here, but it's all about funding. And
yes.
It's all about people willing
exactly.
to support the expenditure and the collection of the funds necessary to do the right thing.
Thank you, guys.